Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Live podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. If you listen often enough, you know I'm a deeper life girl, and my whole goal for this show is to get you ready to meet Jesus. If you're lost, I want you found. If you're hurting, I want you healed. If you're drifting, I want you back on course and mobilized into the purposes of God. Today's conversation is going to be deep. It might be heavy for some, but it's an important conversation. Jonathan Cahn joins me to talk about his book, The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. One caveat I want to make right now, just because of a recent email we released that we received the other day, is one of the things we will talk about is abortion. And my sister Karen says it this way. She ministers often to young people, and this is what she says as she's training her leaders. When it comes to the issue of abortion, our call as Christians is twofold: to defend the rights of the voiceless, unborn child that's still in the womb, and to minister healing to the moms and dads affected by abortion. So when you hear us talk about abortion, and you're somebody clearly who's been affected by yourself or someone that you love, I'm praying you're not hearing condemnation coming on you, because there's healing and there's forgiveness at the cross. But there are babies in the womb that we want to save that can't speak up for themselves. The show isn't just about that, but I just know that that is a touchy topic for some. But we want so much to honor what God is saying to us in our nation. And we've got multiple nations listening here. But what is the Spirit of God saying to the church today? In the book, he asks these questions. Could an array of Middle Eastern mysteries going back to the days of pharaohs have converged on Washington, D.C. to touch America in a single hour, in a single moment? Is America heading for judgment and calamity? Is the world? And is there hope? Have we been given a clear chance for redemption in the midst of judgment? Is it possible that there exists a key, a blueprint, a revelation even, an answer to where we are as to what the future holds, as to how one can stand in light of all that is to come and prevail? Now, friends who are listening from other countries, this message isn't just for America, because we all need to discern the times. We need to know what to do. And you know what? If you fear God, you need fear nothing else. So I'm asking all of us, let's listen in, let's lean in, ask the Lord to show us, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Long before he was an author, Jonathan Cahn was known for opening the deep mysteries of Scripture and bringing forth important prophetic messages. He leads Hope of the World, an international outreach of the Word, teachings, and compassion projects for those in need around the world. He also leads the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel, made up of people of all backgrounds, just outside New York City in Wayne, New Jersey, called the prophetic voice of this generation. Jonathan Cahn is a much sought-after speaker, has been highlighted in New York Times, as well as many other national and international media outlets. He's spoken, listen to this, the United Nations on Capitol Hill and to millions around the world. And we've got 7 copies of the Josiah Manifesto. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Jonathan, welcome to the show. Such an honor to meet you.
Great to be with you, Suzy. Really great to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation. And before we dig into the content of your book, I'd love for you just to share, what has God been impressing upon your heart these days as you spend time with Him?
Well, that the days are late, and we are in dramatic times. We are in very critical times. And we have to really rise to the call. You know, we cannot waste our time. Every moment is crucial. We need to go all out, because, you know, it's not as kind of business as usual. What's happening to the culture, what's happening to our surroundings, what's happening to people in our lives. These are in many ways biblical times. You know, the dynamics are biblical. And we have to more and more live like that. You know, we have to go all out. As we read in the Bible, you know, say in the book of Acts, we have to become that. The grays are disappearing, and we have to go all out. That's the only way to stand. I mean, it's absolutely the only way to stand, especially in the days to come.
I read a Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote the other day. He wrote, to say nothing is to speak, and to do nothing is to act. And that rocked my world. Boy, this is a time where middle of the road is quickly disappearing. If you don't mind, I would love some backstory on your faith journey and how you came to trust Jesus, Yeshua, as your Savior.
Well, I'm Jewish, and I was born into a Jewish home that, I would say nominally religious. You know, we went to, you know, the holidays, and that was about it. You know, we had the holidays in our house, and we knew we were Jewish, but it wasn't really a thing of faith. I went to Hebrew school, and in Hebrew school, I was taught about the God of the Bible. And yet in Hebrew school, I didn't see the evidence of the God of the Bible. I didn't see the way he moved in the Bible and spoke and acted. It was something that was kind of a distant memory. And so at one point, I became an atheist when I was 8 years old. And then I, you know, as time went on, I said, wait a minute, there's got to be something that it can't be that there's nothing. There's got to be a reason for why we exist. So I started thinking deeper. I started searching. I got every book I could on science, religion, the occult, UFOs, you know, everything, supernatural. And one day I picked up a book. I thought it was a UFO book, but it was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, all about biblical prophecy, end time prophecy coming true in our day. And I had never heard anything like it, you know, with Israel coming back and all these things coming true. And so as time went on, I started reading the Old Testament. We had we had that in our house. And I saw that the Jewish Hebrew scriptures spoke about the coming of the Messiah, and that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and the Jewish Messiah would come on and a donkey into Jerusalem, that he would die for our sins, you know, that he would become a light to the Gentiles. And there's only one, and that's Jesus, Yeshua. So I started believing in my head, but I wasn't living it, and I didn't want to live it. You know, I had a rock band. I was doing what teenagers do, and I wanted to keep doing it. I thought if I come to the Lord, I have to give up everything good and join a monastery, and that's the end of it. And so I made a deal with God. I said, God, if you give me a long life, I'll accept you when I'm on my deathbed. And so that was the deal. And right after that, I almost got killed. The first time I was in a car accident where I was almost killed. The second time I was in a car, a Ford Pinto, at night. And these are cars that were very dangerous. They blew up on impact. And I'm heading to a train track. And the light of the train was going up on. I mean, the signal light. But there was no protection. There was no arms. There was nothing. People had been killed there. It was dangerous. And the other cars were all crossing on the other side. So I said, well, maybe the train already passed, or maybe the light's broken. But I'm not gonna cross unless I. So I finally go up. I'm kind of going towards the track, and then I'm looking, and then I look to the left, and I see a light, and it didn't look like it was moving, because it was the train and I was on the track. It was coming head on. And so at one point I said, you know what? I didn't realize where I was, and because you wouldn't have known. And I said, well, maybe I'm too close, you know, so let me try to back up. But now in back of me, there are headlights in my rear view mirror. Oh, I said, oh no, I can't really. But I still backed up about a foot or so, but I thought I was just being extra safe, but I was still in the path of the train. And so the train came and smashed into the car. The car went up like aluminum foil. The only thing I could say was call out to God. And I did. The car was destroyed, and I didn't get a scratch.
Wow.
So I said, okay, Lord, that was strike two. That was close. That was strike two. I'm thinking, like, I was that close to eternity. I was like just inches from eternity. I said, all right, Lord, can we renegotiate? And so I made a new deal with God. I said, Lord, I'll accept you when I turn 20. Just give me that time. Don't kill me until then. And then on my 20th birthday, like a man whose contract had run out, I went up. I looked for a mountain, because I remember in Hebrew school, you know, God met Moses on a mountain and Elijah on a mountain. So I found a mountain and I went up to the top of it at night. I found a rock. I kneeled down and I prayed to receive the Lord into my heart. And that's how I came. It was only, you know, the Bible says Jews require signs. Well, I required a train.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I'd never heard that story before. One more question before we go to break. How and when did you start to just get a sense that that God is giving you revelation around not only the Old Testament, but how it relates to modern times. When did those kind of revelations start coming to you?
Well, I would say the Lord was always giving. I mean, early on in the Lord, you know, people asked me to lead a Bible study, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I started, but you know, the revelations were, God was always giving revelations, and so it was just always coming. I kind of don't necessarily separate it from, you know, the revelations that are in the Word to the revelations that are happening now. It's all, you know, it's all the Lord, but it was early on that, you know, things just started coming and people said, wow, where's that? You know, so I don't take any credit for anything that, you know, any book or anything. I can never reproduce how the book comes. You know, God just leads me, you know, and I just always expect, you know, the Lord is, there's always more to God. You know, there's no end to God. There's no end to what he has whenever I open the Word. So that was the case. You know, as far as the first book I wrote, which is The Harbinger, that began when I was standing at Ground Zero. And I saw this tree that had been struck down on 9/11, and something said, you have to now search. There's a mystery here. That's the first clue, and you have to search it out. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how The Harbinger began, from Ground Zero. And then, you know, it's never stopped. So that, you know, that's with, you know, with all the books came, started there at Ground Zero.
Wow. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to jump to chapter 2, titled The Valley. We're talking to Jonathan Kahn today. His book is The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. And as Jonathan was saying, his books have really emerged out of modern day things that are happening that happen to correlate with ancient dates on the Hebrew calendar. Really such a unique call on Jonathan's life. So we're going to look at some of those things that have happened on specific dates, what's happening in our nation, in America. How does that tie into the bigger story God is writing? If you've got questions, text them in and I'll do my best to weave them into the conversation. We got 7 copies to give away today. 877-933-2484. You text the word book. Here's the number one more time. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, he's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We've got a really important show today. It's a sobering show. I really want you to know that because we really are seeking to discern the times that we would know what to do. And we'll be talking about some tough topics. And I pray that you always know that we are coming from Jesus as our Redeemer. And if you've have walked places where you know you shouldn't and have engaged in things you ought not, and you have found forgiveness in Jesus, you stand righteous before him. But we still do have to look at the culture, the times, what's happening. And it's just super important. Jonathan Kahn joins me today in his new book. He's a New York Times bestselling author. You might want to check out Harbinger. That was his first one. This one's titled The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing because we have 7 copies, 877-933-2484. So in chapter 2, Jonathan, you write, in the valley is what it's titled. You said God's people had been warned from the beginning. They'd been separated from the surrounding nations for the purposes of God, but they had done as they'd been warned never to do. They became as the peoples that surrounded them. They turned to other gods, the gods of the valley. And there in the valley stood their idols along with heaps of stone. There they gathered to partake in the dark rites and rituals required of their new deities. Say more about that and what that looked like.
Well, the nation of Israel had known God, and they turned away from God. As soon as they did, they went after other gods. And two of the gods they went after were Baal and Molech. And both of these gods, their worship required the offering of child sacrifice. So they lifted up their children to the gods. And they did this in a valley called the Valley of Hinnom, particularly. And the prophet Jeremiah looked over that valley and prophesied to them and said, "Listen, because of what you did to the children, it's going to come back to you. What you did to the children, it's going to come back in the form of judgment." And it did, in the form of death. What you do, and this is an ironclad law, that what a nation or a civilization does to its children as a whole, it will come back. You cannot do that and not come back. So this is going to set the stage for one of the mysteries revealed in the Josiah Manifesto. And the Josiah Manifesto, by the way, it's not only opening up these mysteries that we've been living through, and we may not have even realized we've been living through it, but it's also going to give an answer. What if God was actually using all this to show us where we are prophetically? What's going to happen? Where are we going prophetically, and how to prepare ourselves? And what's the answer? Could God actually be pointing us to an answer, to survive, to prevail, to not only for now but for the end times? And that's really what the Josiah Manifesto is going to reveal. But it begins with this mystery that's linked to the children.
It's amazing, because that just shows that you touch a child, you touch the apple of God's eye. I mean, it shows his father heart for children. And so this is why this is such an important conversation. And in other places in Scripture, that when God is bringing judgment, he often warns through the prophets. And I remember after 9/11, after Harbinger, and the one that came after, was it the Mysteries? I can't remember. It was a devotional. Yeah. But anyway, you were issuing a caution to America, because people were flocking to prayer. And you said, if you don't continue in repentance, this is what's going to happen. So you really did predict where we find ourselves now. I mean, you were saying that years ago. What was that like for you to watch some of these things come to pass? I'm sure it grieved your heart. But, what was that like for you?
Well, I'm always, on one hand, I'm always amazed by God. But not surprised, like when he does it, because, it's interesting that you say this, because the Josiah Manifesto, there's several of the mysteries that I began in other books, from the Harbinger, the Paradigm, the Oracle, the Return, that these are all coming home because they kept on going, they kept on coming true, and this was one of them. So, I mean, I'm concerned for the future of America and much of the world, because you cannot go this way and not expect there to be a form of judgment. And that is what we're seeing.
And yet you offer this glimmer of hope, if we will discern the times, if we will discern what God is saying, and we will respond accordingly. If you don't mind, let's step ahead and talk about Yovel. I don't know if I'm saying that. Yovel, the Jubilee, what it was and why it matters to us today.
Yeah, well, this is one of the mysteries. Actually, in the book, there are all these mysteries that then come together. And one of them actually begins in Cuba, when I gave Fidel Castro three objects. And one was a prophetic object. The other was a prophetic message on a sheet. The other was a Bible. And the object and the message actually gave him how long he would have before he would lose his power. And it was all linked to the mystery of the Jubilee. And the Jubilee is, every 50 years, there is God had a year of reversal, of restoration. If you lost your land, you got it back, and that it's a good thing. But people don't know the other side of it. If you took somebody's land in the year of Jubilee, it's taken away. So it's also a form of restitution and even judgment, that if you took what didn't belong, that would be taken from you in the year of Jubilee. So this mystery is going to have everything to do with what we just went through with COVID-19, with all these things, goes back to this mystery of God. And it's amazing, because this is where we're going to get into exact times.
And this is what I can't wait for you to talk about, but you have to tell the story about going to Cuba, because it's just fascinating. So let's start with the secret meeting that you had with a man from Cuba who asked you to come.
Yeah, well, Fidel Castro was opening up the door to Cuba. He was opening it up for 1 month to allow the gospel to be proclaimed, and have celebrations and across the island, 1 month. And so a man came from Cuba. I never met him before. And he said, we're asking you to come. The believers of Cuba are asking you to come there and open it up. Come with the shofar and sound the shofar and you open it. And so I did. I opened
it up.
Okay,
let's
just
pause
gathering.
Here, though. Sorry, I got to say this because you give a good context that prior to this, pastors were in prison. The narrative was always controlled. It was lockdown. I mean, so it's amazing to me that for 1 month, Christians, you guys can come out. Like I would, you know, my spiritual gift of suspicion would be like, this is a setup, but this is truly happening. And you pray and you decide to go. Did you ever feel like you were risking your life?
I had just come back from India, and that was the most dangerous thing I'd ever gone to, because they were killing Christians, and I was a lightning rod of that. I was being followed, pursued the whole time. So when I came back to compare to that, I was like, okay, no, I didn't think about the danger because I just survived. But you know, of course, you have to be careful. You know, I mean, you know, I'm preaching. Literally, I'm at the church as a Cuban. I'm preaching revolution, the revolution of God. You know, I'm preaching the Jubilee and the revolution of God. And, you know, my translator is almost fainting as I'm doing this. And there are secret police in every church, you know, who are watching. And actually, Fidel Castro was watching me because we got reports several times. He was wondering what I was doing there. You know, but I had a prophecy before I went to Cuba. A Cuban pastor who had been in prison came to our congregation, and he actually gave me a word. He said, you're going to enter the king's palace. And that came true when I entered the presidential palace of Fidel Castro. So at the end of amazing things happened, but the last event was in Revolution Square, and Fidel Castro showed up. And then I was invited to go into the presidential palace. And so then I gave him those objects. And the thing is that the objects and the message I gave him not only the year that his power would end, but the day it would end and the hour it would end, and it would all come true.
Wow. Wow. Why did he do that? Why did he open up the country for 1 month for Christians to celebrate?
I think ultimately because God wanted it. You know, I mean, God is in charge. It says, what does it say? The heart of the king is in the hands of God.
That's true.
But he probably because he wanted to show that there was religious freedom when there really wasn't, you know? So I think his motives were to use it. Nevertheless, the motives of God were to use it as well.
Because it did spark a revival because he clamped down a month later, but people were set ablaze in Jesus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Revival went. And I feel if he had let it go and he instead of trying to clamp down on it, you know, I don't know if he would have been removed when he was removed. But the point is that, you know, it doesn't matter in the end because, you know, the Lord still works. And yes, there was absolute revival.
So we've got about a minute and a half to break. But another part of that story that blew my mind was Felix, your translator. And I'm watching the clock, so I'll set it up. You can say a couple words and we've got to tell it on the other side. But you just knew him to be your translator, but you had the heart to ask him his backstory. Say a quick word. You got about a minute to tell his story and then we'll get to the other side.
All right. In a nutshell, remember the Jubilee is, it says everyone shall return to their own land. And so for a translator, you know, I knew a guy named Felix in our congregation, and he said, I'll be your translator. He does. He's translating as I'm preaching about the Jubilee, you'll be restored. And as I'm doing that, I had no idea that Felix was actually born in Cuba, and he lost all his land. He, as a child, his family fled, lost all their possessions. And so I didn't realize that the whole journey in Cuba was for him. He was a sign. It was him coming back to his land. And the thing is that, and so we're preaching, everyone shall return to his land. Well, it turned out on Felix's last day in Cuba, and he had no control over it, they took us to preach in a farm, and the farm turned out to be the land of Felix that he lost as a child. So he actually returned. The entire journey was him returning to his land, the Jubilee. And the scripture that the pastor read without knowing it was, every man shall return to his land. And it was always his dream to come back to that land. He always prayed to the Lord. And the thing is, he always dreamed that if he ever went back, he'd build a church. Well, it turns out when he came back on his land, the church was already built. And that's where we preached that last night on his land.
Goodness.
That was the hand of Jubilee, the hand of God.
Wow. Wow, that's just so amazing. So when we come back, I want you to teach us a bit more about Jubilee and why it's important to even America's story, the world's story, but what you see in America, why we need to know about this. Jonathan Kahn is my guest. His book, The Josiah Manifesto, 7 copies to give away today. More with Jonathan Kahn in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, having just a profound conversation with Jonathan Cahn. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and I just think that the lane that God has established him as a Messianic Jew is to understand the Hebrew calendar, the scriptures, and how they relate to what is happening in our day. He doesn't call himself this, but I feel like he has a strong prophetic voice in our day. His book is titled The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. You can text the word book if you want in the drawing, 877-933-2484. And before the break, Jonathan was talking about traveling to Cuba, a lockdown closed society where pastors were imprisoned for their faith. 1 month, Castro allows them, Christians, to celebrate their faith for 1 month, and it springs forth a revival. Jonathan was called to speak there multiple places and was able to meet with Castro and present gifts to him and even a prophetic word. His translator came with him, who he learned later had his whole family had lost land because of this communist regime. And so when Jonathan and Felix get to Cuba, they're at the mercy of their itinerary, but they're truly in the mercies of God. Their last stop happened to be the land that Felix lost as a child. And his dream was to build a church on that land. And there had been a church built. It's just amazing. I want to read this as you write about the year of return, the year of reconciliation, the year of Jubilee. When the shofar sounded to inaugurate the Jubilee, everything changed. What was lost was restored. What was separated was reconciled. The prisoners were set free, and the exiled came home. It was a mass nullification. That which was done was undone. Everything was reversed. Everything was inverted. Everything came full circle. Everything returned to the beginning, to its original place and state. Jonathan, are you saying that we possibly, as a nation, could enter a year of Jubilee, or what's your sense?
Well, there's a few different aspects, and this is why I mentioned about what happened in Cuba with Castro at the beginning, because this for Castro, it was not a restoration. It was a restitution. It says, if you take what does not belong to you, then it's taken away from you. And this opens up a whole gigantic mystery, a colossal, and everything we've just been through. And that is that. You know, America began taking something that it didn't belong to, and that to us, and that is we took life. And in 1970, that's when it began. It actually began in 1970 when abortion on demand, not 73 Roe versus Wade. And so when is the Jubilee year of abortion? Well, it's 2020. And so here the law, the Bible says, and actually Jeremiah, when he's looking over that valley, he's saying, because you took the life of your children, life is going to be taken. And one of the forms that it comes, that Jeremiah says, it says it will come in the form of a plague. And so literally we have a plague come upon America. And, you know, that actually spares the young and goes and touches the old, the opposite of abortion. And it happens in the year of Jubilee. You know, we took life, life is taken. But when the actual beginning of abortion, when it first made its first footsteps into America, into the continent, it was in New York. It was January 20th, 1970, when the first bill for abortion on demand came up in America. And the thing is that it was then, what happens if you go 50 years later? It takes you to January 20th, 2020. Anything happen? January 20th, 2020 is the exact date, the official date that this plague comes to America. Patient zero. It's exactly 50 years, one Jubilee, wow, to the exact day. And the thing is that from when we began with children, and then when you look later on, if we all remember when everything shut down and everything went across the world, but particularly America, Trump, the president, went on the air and he said we were quarantined, America was quarantined, and everything got locked down and the stock market crashed and it was declared a pandemic. It was all done on March 11, 2020. That was called the day that changed everything. March 11, 2020, it falls on us. Well, what happens if you go back 50 years? It takes you to March 20th, 1970. Anything happen? I'm sorry, March 11th, 1970. Anything happen? Well, yeah, something did. That was the very first day we began shedding the blood of the children on the land. It was exactly 50 years to the exact date that this all falls back on us. And not only that, but it's not just the time, it's the place. Because the place through which abortion really entered through America was New York. And it pioneered, in fact, for those first 3 years from 1970 to Roe versus Wade in 73, most abortions in America, the majority were performed in New York. And then it would spread to the nation. So it's the gate, it's the gate of the nation. So the thing is that could 50 years later, could it have repeated? Well, the amazing thing that happens is that scientists just discovered, when they looked at the genetic markers of the virus of COVID, they found out that the majority of it, if you had COVID, came through the gate of New York, the same gate where we began killing our children. And, and you know, in the same year, 1970, there was one other gate. The second gate was on the West Coast. It was Washington State. That's the other state through which abortion came to the continent. Well, now, 50 years later, it is not just New York. The other gate through which this plague comes to America was Washington State. So the thing is that if whoever had COVID, many of us did, the DNA bore the virus bore the very markers of the two gates through which we began killing our children 50 years before. And I'm just going to throw in one more in this, and that is that Jeremiah asked the question when, you know, well, actually he even says it, you know, what you did to the children is going to be matched by what happens to you. You basically shed their blood, and basically it's going to happen to you. Well, could it match up? And I looked at this, Susie, and I saw that when in those first three critical years from 70 to Roe versus Wade, the number of Americans the number of children that were killed was 1.3 million. Well, when you go 50 years later, you have another 3-year period that matches that 3-year period, and it's the 3 years of this plague. And the thing is, and so I looked, how many Americans were killed? It was 1.3 million, the same exact number of the children that we killed.
I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. Wow. So how do you pray for our nation?
Well, I pray for revival, because without revival, there's no hope for this nation. And, you know, and that, in fact, you know, the thing is that, you know, revival is not just like a nice thing. You know, revival is life and death. If America does not turn back to God, America, as we know it, is gone, you know. And so we need revival desperately. I mean, and the church has to have revival, because, you know, if we had been the light we were supposed to be, it could never have gotten this dark, you know. And too many people are living on the defense when we should be living on the offense. This is the time, you know, when it gets dark, the light doesn't get timid, you know, and say, oh, no, I can't. It's dark. I can't. No, if it's dark, that's the time to do your job. You know, we are called to be lights. This could be the most exciting time. You know, the Josiah Manifesto there's all sorts of these mysteries showing the reality of God and the hand of God and how real this really is and what we're going through. The same God of the Bible is alive and well. And the thing is that it all is going to lead, all these puzzle pieces are going to lead together to bring the answer. You know, because at the same time, Susie, it wasn't just the Jubilee didn't just bring this, it also brought a redemption, because it brought brought the beginning of the end of Roe versus Wade. And, you know, and that was everything that happened with the overturning of Roe versus Wade happened exactly 50 years from Roe versus Wade. I mean, there was a case that overturned it. Everything happened 50 years to the time. And actually, Roe versus Wade was actually overturned in its Jubilee year, which it's actually all pointing to something, because Susie, when, you know, what that was, when you saw Roe versus Wade being overturned, it was something gigantically biblical. And that is because abortion, Roe versus Wade, was an altar. It was the most brazen altar we had, on which millions of children were killed. And so what happened was God broke open that altar. You know, it's just the beginning, we know, but it's the breaking of the altar is a biblical sign. And in the Bible, the breaking of the altar is a sign that God is giving a chance for revival, because that was the sign of revival, when the altars of the gods were broken down. So there is a chance, and that's what opens up the mystery, the key to the manifesto of the Josiah Manifesto. You know, the last 100 pages of the book are actually the template that I believe God is opening up for us about what we need to know to prevail in the days ahead. How do we live? How do we protect our families? How do we shine our light? How do we overcome the darkness? How do we have nothing to do with the darkness and yet impact this generation? And there's a key and a secret, but all that God is giving it. And that's why I felt so strongly, Susie. This book came to me on the very day I finished the last book, The Return of the Gods. Wow. And God's saying, in this one, I'm going to have an answer for my people. And so that's where it all goes.
Wow. And the Return of the Gods, friends, if you haven't checked that out, it's really amazing when you look at the ancient gods. Remember when Elijah on Mount Carmel said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If God is God and he's the Lord, serve him. Otherwise, go to your small g gods. Of course, my paraphrase there. But when you talk about when, you know, Jesus came and then believers were mobilized all over the earth, it's like the enemy and these small g gods were squelched. Not that they were completely displaced, but they were squelched. And now there's this vacuum because God's been kicked out of the public square, and they've come back with a vengeance and a force. Still, we know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I would love for you just to say a word about that. For those who especially, they're dealing with some fear. They love Jesus, but they feel quite afraid of the times we're in.
Susie. Well, it's, you know, and in some ways, it's good that you brought that up, because in some ways, the Josiah Manifesto is kind of like answering or the next part of the Return of the Gods, you know, because we're dealing with it. And the thing is that you know, it is so, you know, that, you know, when, once you see that mystery with the Return of the Gods, you can't unsee it, because everything we're dealing with, every one of us is dealing with it. It doesn't matter who you are. We're dealing with it. It's not natural what's happening in our culture. It's supernatural in a bad way, but we have that power. And that's why, you know, I will tell you something. This is I'd say it's a secret, but it's more in the personal realm. When I was beginning to work on the Return of the Gods, one of my associate pastors at Beth Israel, I'm the whatever you call me, the rabbi, the lead pastor, he had this vision at night. And I mean, it just came to him, and he had a word, and he said, I got to tell you, and he's never done anything like this before. He said, Jonathan, he said, I saw you standing in front of all these altars of these gods. Now, he knew nothing about what I was writing. And he said, all these altars, these gods, and God said, prophesy to the altars and bring a word. And I did. And then the word went forth, the altars began to crack open. And as they cracked open, these spirits departed from them. And then he saw the chance for revival. Now, it turned out he knew nothing about what I was writing, but it was all about that, the gods, the altars, and all, and the spirits behind them. But the thing was, that's the thing, the day that a few months later, I finished the book. And the day I finished the book, the altar, the most brazen altar of the gods in our day, which is that of abortion, Roe versus Wade, was cracked open on that day. So here I'm bringing forth the word, as he said, you know, this will be the timing, bring forth the word, and the altar is going to be cracked open. So it all converged on the same day. So it was like, and then the Lord said, this is what you need to now, the next word, you're going to bring hope because of what I did. Here, I have, you know, I have opened this altar. There can be revival. I am stronger than any force. I'm stronger than the gods. I'm stronger than the devil. I'm stronger than the darkness, but you have to rise to it. And my people must rise for such a time as this.
Somebody got to text me an amen. God is stronger, and we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. We're tethered to good God. That hope, that anchor leads us to the inner sanctuary of Most High God. So on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the hope and the back half of the Josiah Manifesto. Two quick things before we go to break. Melissa texted in and said, why is it the Josiah Manifesto? What do you say?
Oh, that'll be good.
You want to talk about that on the other side?
Right. We can do it. Yeah, well, let's do that on the other side. That's
okay.
Great.
And then one thought before we go to break, because I'm just thinking again about somebody, you know, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. And you're listening today, and you've had an abortion. You were caught up in and believe in the lie that you had no other options. There's no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. And I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'd comfort that dear one.
That's
you'd
right.
Surround her with your favor, Lord God. You would show her the peace of God. And we thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross for us, knowing full well every day of our lives, every choice we would make. Bless her in the name of Jesus, or bless him if he's a father. But we thank you that there's redemption, Lord God, and a cleansing because of the blood of Jesus. We honor you, Lord, and we say thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be back in a minute. Do you think of yourself as courageous? A world changer even? Well, maybe fear rules the day, keeps you from identifying in this way. But when you step out in faith and you decide to take action in the moment, living this day in light of that day of eternity, you literally change the world. Susie Larson Live is part of a listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. This content is only available because of your support. The impact on lives, the reach around the world happens because you stood up to make a difference. Now is your time if you've not called in yet. Take the next step. Be bold by joining the support team now. We can't do this without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. You can click the link in the show notes or go directly to myfaithradio.com. Myfaithradio.com. Let's reach the world together for Jesus. He's the hope of the earth. He's the one who changes lives for all eternity. God bless you. Oh, having a fantastic conversation today with New York Times bestseller Jonathan Cahn. He's bold and he's brave and he doesn't mince words, and I love that about him. He's got a number of prophetic, amazing, insightful books. He just released the Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times, where he looks at the ancient Hebrew calendar and looks at what's happening in our times and the direct connection, really the prophecies that God has given us. If you do this, then you're going to see this. Wow, if you just tuned in, once the show's over, go back and catch the podcast. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Melissa texted in, Jonathan, and said, why the Josiah Manifesto?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that all these mysteries, and we just, you know, we kind of did probably one major one, but I'll just give you a quick hint and a little taste, and that is that even the mystery behind the political realm, behind Donald Trump, behind January 6th, is there. You had alluded to, there's an ancient calendar of God where all these dates, all these shakings of America were ordained by this ancient calendar of God. Not only what was going to happen, but the exact day it happened. Everything we just went through is all under control. It's amazing. But the thing is that all these mysteries lead to one thing, because the broken altar, there's nobody in the Bible who is more connected to the broken altar than Josiah. His very birth was foretold, prophesied over the sign of the broken altar centuries before he was born. When he brought revival to Israel, he did it by breaking the altars of the God. He's the one who actually went down to the Valley of Hinnom where they were killing their children, and he rendered all those altars as inoperable, gone. And then so he broke all sorts of altars. So the thing is that was the sign of Josiah. And so what this is pointing all to is, because we've seen this, the sign of the broken altar. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, that was massive. The sign of the broken altar means we are at the Josiah moment. And being at and what that means is the nation is, you know, when Josiah was born, you know, the age of Josiah was an age when a nation that had once known God was now on the verge of judgment. It had fallen away from God. On one hand, it was on the verge of judgment, but God was going to give it a last chance for revival. And so it's standing between a choice between judgment on one hand, revival on the other. And Josiah would be crucial to bring revival to the nation. And the thing is that when you look at, so actually that's the key. The last part of the book, I would say the first two thirds are the mysteries and all sorts of other mysteries we couldn't touch on, but the last part is the manifesto. And that is the guide to the end times, the guide to now. What do we do? How do we do it? What were the secrets that Josiah had? I mean, because he lived in a dark time, and yet he was a light to it. What were the secrets? How did he overcome? How did he break free of the darkness? How did he actually change the history? One man changed the course of his nation. One man, you know, what were the powers that he had? What were the secrets and the strategies that he had? Well, these are for our day right now, and for the end times as well. What do you do if you live in a time where there's persecution? If you live in a time where the darkness is you know, seeking to crush the light, how do you overcome it all? Well, Josiah is it's amazing. So there's all sorts of keys that I believe God wants us to know and wants us to have for this hour. So this is what opens it up, and this is what I believe why the Lord led me that I had to write this book right now for God's people to prevail.
Amen. So many amens coming in right now. Can you give us some of those keys? Ones that, you know, we've probably got about six, seven minutes left. What's on your heart to share that someone needs to hear today?
Let me give one kind of really cool example of someone who did something righteous, and who actually kind of rose to this in a way we might not even think. You know, there was a man in the Bible called Phinehas, and he stood up in his generation when Israel went away from God, and there was a plague on the land, and Phinehas took a righteous act, and the plague started subsiding. Well, the amazing thing, Susie, is, you know, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, when that happened, it was, you know, it was released in June, that it was handed down, but it was actually voted much earlier, and the ruling was written up in January of 2022 and into the beginning of February 22. That's when Judge Alito wrote that ruling that was going to overturn Roe versus Wade. The amazing thing is, at that moment, this plague of COVID was at its peak, it was three times higher than it had ever been. It would have gone on for years. But all of a sudden, when he finishes that ruling, all of a sudden, this plague crashes, plummets, collapses. Within a few weeks, it's one-eighth of what it was, and it never goes near it again. And the thing is that, so here's one righteous action, and actually, we don't even realize it, that's when the plague really just totally collapsed. And the thing is that there are so many keys to Josiah. One of them is, you know, first of all, that you cannot live in fear. You cannot live in fear of the darkness. You cannot be intimidated by the darkness. God has chosen you for this hour. God chose Josiah for the hour he lived in. You know, some believers say, you know, I'm scared. I'm scared about what's happening. I'm scared of the end times. I'm scared about, you know, the evil and all. Listen, if God didn't want you in this hour, he would have put you somewhere else. If you are born now, you are there because God chose you. God appointed you. God will anoint you. God will empower you, just like he did Josiah. Josiah was born for his time. He was born to be an answer. So we got to get away from this defensive way of living. We're not here to survive. We're not here to live on the defense. We're here to be an answer. We're part of God's answer. You know, one of the chapters of the manifesto part is heavenly agents on earth. That we are on earth not to hang out. We're on earth to do the will of God. It doesn't matter what age you're in. In fact, another principle of Josiah is the darker gets, the more it grows dark, the brighter God's people, those who stand for God, will become. And so, you know, another thing is that Josiah was radical. You know, and the days for being status quo Christianity are ending. Over. The day for cultural, you know, comfortable Christianity are ending. The grays are disappearing. And so what's happening, if the world and the evil is getting more radical, it's time that God's people, you and me, and the good become more radical for God. You know, the very first church, you know, the book of Acts didn't have a lot of power, worldly power, didn't have a lot of riches, nothing, yet it was filled with the power of God. They were revolutionary. They were countercultural. They were on fire, you know. And God is calling everything to back to that. You know, God is calling us to get back to a revolutionary people, a prophetic people, you know. And the other thing is that one of the things that Josiah had, I mean, there's so many keys here of Josiah, but Josiah had to separate himself from the darkness. You know, not for the people, but from the darkness. And so he had to wean himself, anything he was dependent on. So if there's anything in your life that you're connected to the world and to the darkness, whether it's on television, whether it's on the web, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever it is, you need to separate yourself so that you can go against the flow, so that you can actually be a light to it. You can't be a light to it if you're of it. So to wean yourself, and one of the things is that in order to be a light to the world, you got to get plugged out, unplugged from the world system, and to get all the more plugged into God. You know, Josiah was a man who was so plugged in, just like Elijah was and Moses was and Paul was. That's how they overcame the world. And in the last days, you're going to have to get more. We have to get more plugged in the presence of God, in the word of God, in the spirit of God,
come on,
in the love of God, in the power of God, in the reality of God. And we will overcome the world. But there's so much. That's why you got 100 pages of it.
Come on. Amen. Right. When COVID happened and I was interceding for our nation, God gave me this picture of this power grid. And I saw these clusters of people praying together. And I said, it's time to start an underground prayer movement, even though I said it publicly. But I just saw all these clusters of Christians seeking God earnestly together, that if anything like this happens again, you are already connected in intercession with other believers. I've got to read this text that just came in, Jonathan. She says, listening to the program, in my 60s, had an abortion in my 20s. I know I'm forgiven. I had opportunity to go to the courthouse in Texas several years ago where Roe v. Wade was approved. To bow before the Lord, I could cry there in tears and repent, began a deep healing. But my heart can still grieve that I allowed myself to even let it happen. Bless you and thank you for this program. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Yeah. And I want to share what you, to say amen to what you said, Susie. Listen, we are totally forgiven. And it's good that you have a burden, because God will use it for life, but you are totally forgiven. We are not who we were. Thank God. God is a God of grace and mercy, but now he saved us so we can be a witness. We can be a light in the darkness. And now we can actually bring life. And that's why we're here. We are here. These days can be the greatest days, because when you look at all the great people of the Bible, like you look at Paul, they were in dark days. Book of Acts wasn't a Christian culture. It was anti-Christian. Everything is going back to where it was in the beginning. It's time that we go back too. And so the last days could be the greatest days for the one who will stand for God. Let the chips fall where they may, doesn't matter. Listen, whatever happens, as for me and my house, we're serving God.
We
go all out, go radical, and God is going to lift you up. And that is why I know that the Lord said, now is the time, write this book, because I want to raise up my people and I want them victorious, no matter what happens around them, that they will overcome and prevail. For greater is he who is in them than the one who's in the world.
Thank you, Jonathan. I got to read this from your book as we get ready to wrap. We just have seconds left. You said the children of God are not to live in the world as passive inhabitants, but as active agents. They're not of earth, but heaven. Thus, they are not to live from the world. They are to live to the world, to their culture, to their age. They are not to be defined by their times. They are to define the times. They are not to be changed by the world. They are to change it. They are to live as agents of heaven on earth. Friends, thank you for tuning in. Jonathan, bless you for sharing your gift with us. Wow, what an honor.
Susie, thank you. And just say everybody can get the book.
Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.